originally, when the channel stood up, it actually stood up May 14th of 2004. And the whole purpose of the channel was that at that time, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, he could reach his audience overseas through AFRTS-AFN. But he felt he could not communicate well and reach the service members, active duty guard and reserve here in the U.S. And so that was the reason for the launch of the channel. Now, along with that, at that time, you know, we didn't have the technology we have today. At that time, you know, linear television was the way to reach our audience. And today, technology has changed so much to where, you know, now it's a two-way conversation. It's interactive. And of course, being able to do that with strictly with a linear channel is impossible. And of course, that's not the way all of our folks are reaching out to gather that information. And especially when we deal with time zones, it makes it more difficult. A plain linear channel here in the U.S., you know, it's basically programmed for East Coast time, and then it's you know, played back, you know, for Central Time and Pacific Time, where we deal with time zones that vary anywhere from 6 hours in Europe to 13 hours ahead in Japan. So utilizing, you know, technology today of on-demand, the web, utilizing the smartphones and tablets, that's the direction that we need to go, because we have diverse, you know, we have a large audience out there with diverse interests. And so for us, or like any organization, you want to be able to capitalize on providing that information, you know, to your audience. And for us, it's basically what we want to call a one-voice strategy, and where we're able to provide, you know, that one location for everyone to come and get that information. So, you know, going from linear, you know, to an old, to, you know, the old style of television, basically bringing us into the current technology of the day to reach our audience, because that's how they want to be able to receive it.
And of course, everything that you are doing up until the end of today has already been live streamed via the web. Do you have any good data on how much of your audience was coming to you already via online mechanisms versus over the air in the old school linear fashion?
Sure. If you're talking broadcast, no. If you're talking for online, for the web, I can give you some numbers on that. Basically, with defense.gov daily, we have about 214,000 page views. Weekly, it's about 1.5 million. So, you know, it's a good following. Daily for 214,000. Sorry about that. About 600,000, if I do my math correctly here, for the 1.05 million. So, about that. You know, and it goes across, because with the defense.gov is also our social media, and with our, you know, and so our reach is big on that as well. You know, the DoD Twitter account, about 766,000 followers and about 954,000 impressions. You know, I can go through, you know, Facebook, 852,000 likes, 944,000 reaches. So we do quite well. And it's really showing us, you know, by these numbers, that is the direction that we need to go to be able to provide that information to our audience. But, you know, I think Colonel Mutter can add in here that this direction that DMA is taking, that DOD News is a part of, is critical for us to make that transition.
Hey, Jared, it's Colonel Mutter. To expand upon what Gene is saying, you
sure.
know, defense media activity, we have a very broad vision statement. That's to be the number one media community for the defense conversation, and that's exactly what Gene's driving at. Today's information environment is about a conversation. So when the Pentagon Channel was designed years ago, that was a way by which the Secretary of Defense could reach the audience. And the way technology and the way information has changed so much over the last couple of years, we've embarked on a very aggressive strategy to get into that conversation. And so that was the impetus to start looking out, how are we going to communicate with our audience, the DoD family is what we call it, that's active reserve, guard, family members, and, you know, the forces deployed around the world. How are we going to communicate in that conversation with them? So as Gene was saying, you know, about a year and a half ago, we started working a strategy to bring together a lot of different inform functions, different entities, the American Forces Press Service, Joint Hometown News Service. We brought them together into the Department of Defense News, DOD News. And so that's that one voice that he mentioned earlier. So it's capitalizing on all the different capabilities we have and then using all the different platforms that are available nowadays and how people get their information. So, you know, linear TV, it's still out there. It's still important. But that's not how the majority of our audience is getting their information. So that was a huge turn for the defense media activity as we move forward into the future.
And really, for either of you, how much of the decision to end the 24-hour format was cost-driven? And do you know how much cost you'll either save or avoid by ending that format?
Well, you know, when we looked at this, as you look at the budgets across the Department of Defense and as other entities within that, you know, the budget has gone down. So as we encounter budget reductions, we're always looking for ways for efficiency and ways to reduce costs in other programs. And that was part of the factor as we were moving forward. You know, defense media activity also provides oversight to the American Forces Television Radio Service and the Armed Forces networks that are around the world. So we have satellites around the world that provide that signal to family members and soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines. And so as we look at transitioning satellites, that was one way that we said, oh, there's a cost avoidance here. If we stop using certain satellites in regards to our budget reductions, but we can use other platforms to get that information out. So in this case, we're not going to use what we call a domestic satellite over the United States, where it was primarily broadcasting. So that cost avoidance has helped us as we reprogram monies into platforms that we need in order to get the information out.
One of the numbers that's been reported in the past is that the operating cost for the Pentagon Channel was on the order of $5 million a year. I imagine you don't avoid that entire cost because you're still basically doing many of the things that you were doing, but do you know roughly what you're going to avoid?
Well, in a simple term, I would say our cost avoidance would be roughly about $2 million a year. And that's, again, looking at the satellites and reorienting our satellite streams to the different satellite constellations that we have. But as you said, we are still executing the mission. Gene and his team is still putting out high-quality products for the Department of Defense. And so that workforce remains fully engaged because we have a mission. We have a requirement to be that voice, that one voice for the Department of Defense when it comes to the DOD family.
Yeah, and just to expand a little on that, I think we should talk a bit about the difference between the platform you're using versus the programming you're generating. So now that you're not spending that $2 million and not having to worry about a 24-hour live format, does it free you up to generate more programming that you'll be able to provide in an on-demand format, or at least keep what you were already doing?
And that's exactly what we're looking at. Granted, you know, we are going to do the daily news elements and have that available online on demand and then also on AFN. But then we're also going to be able to expand in certain areas that's important for, you know, our audience, our military audience out there to gain understandings or those great human interest stories. In other words, we want to be able to enrich and with our content, which is very important because it gives us an opportunity to really do some good human interest stories on what our service members are doing around the world, because they are everywhere, you know, and they all do important jobs out there in protecting, you know, our freedoms. And that's what this is really all about, is providing that information and letting also, you know, the American public, they have great access through the on-demand and defense.gov to see what our military members are doing. But we're able to capitalize on telling their story, and that's what's important as well. Besides expanding, and we have an opportunity to expand further and drill a little deeper on some of the things that are coming out from the DOD senior leadership and what it means to our military member and how it impacts and affects them and their family members. So we're able to, you know, expand some of our programming out in that direction.
And finally, you know, I totally understand that the primary target audience for you guys is the current actively serving force. But part of the audience, I've got to imagine some significant part of it, was people in the military retiree population who are probably less savvy about accessing this content online versus over their cable system. Was that a consideration? And have you started to hear from those folks about the end of the TV format?
Good is that, and all the cable providers out there, many of them have contacted us. We sent information out to them. One cable provider in Alaska, for example, is ensuring that the graphic that we currently have up today that drives everybody to defense.gov is going to remain. They're working on informing their retirees, which they have a big population of there, of that information. So our cable providers that we had that carried the channel are actually helping us, because I think they all realize the importance of the military member and that veteran out there. So, and plus, I believe that we've had a strong following on defense.gov with a lot of our veterans as well, because throughout all of our programming and content, we've been talking about defense.gov for some time, and we help drive them to that channel. And many of the veterans belong, you know, we believe belong to a lot of our social media accounts as well that follow us. So, you know, and I think, you know, as you're doing in talking with us, you know, it helps get that word out, you know, for the veterans to be able to do that.
And, hey, Jared, it's Colonel Mudd. I just want to add on that as well. You know, it's really important that we have flexibility added into this strategy, because of the information environment, how much it changes. So, you know, the strategy that Gene just laid out for you about reaching out for that specific audience is just one small part of, you know, a comprehensive effort to inform everyone that there's going to be the content available across multiple platforms, so they can go and see what's going on in the Department of Defense, and they can see the stories of their service members and their family members that are serving here and abroad. So it's really a step into the future for the defense media activity. We're really excited about this.